So our topic for tonight is going to be the question of Shalosh Seudos b'Shabbos, the mitzvah of eating three different meals on Shabbos. And then next week, or I'm not sure if we have next week. Are we off next week? Okay, so in 2 weeks, then we're going to pick up with the mitzvah of Kiddush. So on page one, we have a very interesting Gemara. Gemara in Shabbos, and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara introduces the notion of having three meals on Shabbos. So Gemara poses the question, Tan Rabbanan, Kama Sudos Adam Chayiv Adam Lechal B'Shabbos? How many meals is one obligated to have on Shabbos? Shalosh. So the first view in the Gemara is you're supposed to have three. Rabbi Chitka Omer Arba. Rabbi Chitka has this peculiar position that you should have four meals on Shabbos. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnei Mikra Echad Darshu. Both of these two views stem from the same Pasuk. It's a question of interpretation. So the Pasuk in Shemos, Vayomer Moshe, Ichluhu Hayom, Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, regarding the man, eat the man today, ki Shabbos Hayom, because today is Shabbos, Lashem. Lashem Hayom, it's a day for Hashem today. Lo timtzu basada. Today you're not going to find the man in the field. Okay, so basically, because the pasuk here says, the pasuk talking about the man, uses the word Hayom, today, three different times. So the Gemara infers that there are three different meals that a person is supposed to have on Shabbos. And what about Rabbi Chitka, who holds that you're supposed to have four meals? Shabchitka savar hani tlasa hayom lebar miursa. Shabchitka believes that the three meals referenced in the pasuk are referring to day meals, in addition to the meal you're supposed to have at night. Okay, so you have an argument whether it's three plus the night or three including the night.
Wasn't the man that fell on Friday a double portion?
Right.
So why does anybody think it's more than two meals on Shabbos?
Because wasn't it just double what they would normally have? And if they normally had two meals, right, then they should have just two more meals for Shabbos. That's your question.
Well, I don't know. It's twice as much.
Right.
You're saying,
so I assume that this
fell,
view...
I fell for breakfast, lunch, dinner, so you have breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Right. So I assume that this view... Wait, you're asking a question on how you get even three?
Yeah.
And it should just be two.
Should be two.
One Friday,
one
Saturday.
They're flying.
Right. That's a good question. So I assume the Gemara here is assuming that Lecha Mishnah doesn't mean double in the strict sense of multiplied by two. It means enough for both days. And the Gemara is deducing from the fact that it says Hayom three times that there were enough for three meals. Okay. But you're right. The Gemara clearly can't be assuming that it means just times two. Right, 2 days worth. Okay, that's definitely what the Gemara seems to be assuming here, because the whole assumption of the Gemara is that there are more meals on Shabbos than there are during the week. All right, so okay. Now, if you look at the Psukim in Shemos and Perek Tes Zayin, so there's a whole back and forth here between Moshe and Bnei Yisrael about what's going to happen on Friday. Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, "Don't go out and pick the man, because you'll have a double portion on Friday." And Bnei Yisrael go out on Friday, and they see that there is a double portion. Okay, enough for both days. And they come back and they tell Moshe, and they say, wow, look, it's really true. And then Moshe says, exactly. Right? And he says, Hayom, 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 Lo Timtzu Basada. This is exactly as I told you in advance. Okay? So the question is, how do we treat this mitzvah of three sudos on Shabbos? Like, what's its nature? And where does it fall in the spectrum of mitzvahs that we've seen until now in the mitzvah of Shabbos? So on the bottom of page one, you have the explanation of the Avudram, who's trying to give some interpretation as to why Shalosh Seudos becomes prominent. And I find this very very perplexing. So if anybody has any good suggestions as to what he's getting at, I'll be more than open to hear. So on the bottom of page one, you have the Avudram, Dine Shalosh Seudos, Kasav Harav Reb Moshe Kohen, Shezeh Shechivu Lechol Shalosh Seudos B'Shabbis, Bebnei Sheha Ochel Achila Gasa, Yitzarich laharchik zman ha'achila sha'achareha. The reason why the Torah commanded us to eat three sudos on Shabbos is because somebody who eats a lot, okay, in his first meal, so he'll have to push off the time to his next meal. Okay, he's very full from meal number one, so now he'll have to have a lot of time before number two. So now when a person realizes that he has to eat three sudos on Shabbos, lo yochal b'shum su'uda mehem, ki im b'shir sheyuchal lechol b'hagi hazman ha'suda she'achareah. But when you throw another meal into the mix, a person will eat less at every meal because he knows that there's another suda, let's say, a couple hours away. So
but
he'll
that's
eat.
Not true. If he eats it Friday night,
Let's talk about in Shabbos day, right? So you know that you could have another meal before sundown, after lunch. So you'll eat less at lunch in anticipation of shalosh sudos. I'm able to eat less the night before because you know that you could have two meals on Shabbos day. Maybe.
Can you have two meals a night?
You could, right? But he's explaining our view that you have only two meals during the day and one meal at night. That's what he's explaining. So you could eat less at this first meal in anticipation of Suda Shlishis, which is around the corner. Nimtzu kol su'udos of l'shem mitzvah u'l'soveh nafsho. So the result is going to be that he eats just enough to sustain himself. V'yishar libo panoi lasok b'divrei Torah, and his mind will be clear to engage in learning Torah. V'nimtzu kovesh yitzro, he also has conquered his inclination to eat more, b'silko ochal milafanav, by eating less, b'odo ta'evlo, while he still desires it, u'chshayasa zeh b'yom ha'menucha, and when somebody acts this way on Shabbos, kol shekein shayasa b'yom ha'melacha, then he'll do the same thing on a weekday, shlo yechabit ha'ochal alav levatlo mimelacha. So when he trains himself on Shabbos to eat less at each meal, then on a weekday as well, he'll also eat less, and he'll be able to do his melacha more easily, more efficiently.
Brilliant.
Brilliant?
Yes.
Okay. Why brilliant?
It's from a health perspective, he's right on. He's centuries ahead of the game.
He's centuries ahead of the game. I hear that. But I'll tell you what bothers me about the Avodram. And maybe
he's not answering the question of why you. I mean, he might be giving an answer of three meals, but where does he. Is he giving the answer from the Torah? Is why you have to eat the three meals? Or
yeah,
he's giving, like Harold suggested, he's giving a medical advice, maybe, or a Torah advice to be learning.
I think he would contend that one is reducible to the other. That the Torah's vision of Shalosh Sudos is in order to convey this, what you're calling this health principle, right? Which would be way more ahead of his time.
Not only for Shabbos, but for the entire week.
Right.
So if it's
right, so that's what bothers me about the
if it's for the entire week, what did that mean with Shabbos?
It's not unique, it's just a good idea.
Right, but I find that kind of like self-defeating in this case. Or to phrase it more halachically, generally we say you can't prepare from, let's say, Shabbos to a weekday.
That's true.
Right? So this is not halachically problematic because you're not physically preparing for something. But the mentality here is that you're training yourself to have certain eating habits on Shabbos so that they carry through the rest of the week.
Rest of your life.
Rest of your life, maybe. Now, in one sense, that kind of like does a credit to Shabbos. I mean, it tells like Shabbos is the day where you're going to like work on your habits and it's going to carry through. On the other hand, it seems kind of, you know, it's a little bland in terms of what the purpose of these Shalosh Sudos is, just to train your habits for how you're going to behave during the rest of the week. So, and notice he also mingles in this interpretation of that you'll be freer on Shabbos to learn Torah. Now, it could be that he means that as an intrinsic value in Shabbos, like this is how Shabbos should be spent, or he just means that since you're not doing malacha on Shabbos, so eating less on Shabbos will allow you to be more religiously productive, and being more religiously productive is good training to being more economically productive during the rest of the week.
He's saying that if you don't gorge, your mind will be clearer for Torah study.
Right. But which is somehow supposed to set the model for your efficiency in working during the rest of the week. I mean, it's not clear if he's stressing the Torah study as a value per se on Shabbos, or he's saying that that's like the discipline that's going to be trained.
It sounds like a physical condition.
Right. Not because you're free to learn per se. Meaning if you're free to play chess, you would say the same thing.
Doesn't this sound so odd since we all do exactly the opposite nowadays?
We just indulge even more.
Shabbos is like the undoing of every attempt to, you know, eat in moderation.
Right.
So what happened?
With this, Davu Jam needs better advertising.
I mean, or maybe
food is good at Shabbos.
I mean, the meals are different. So this whole, the thought that just because you know there's another meal coming, or that you have to have another meal, you're going to have to eat less. I think it works the opposite. I think people say,
I have to have that third meal.
I'm just going to have to, if I have to fulfill that other meal, I'm going to do it in the most brief way possible.
Right. We'll see that discussion. We'll see.
Where is he from? Where did he?
Davu Jam.
Yes.
He's 14th century Spain.
Uh-huh.
He's a Talmud of the Tur. Okay. The Tur is the son of the Rush. The Rush fled from Ashkenaz to Spain about, like, I think 1296, somewhere around then. Then the Tur, his son, is in Spain. He has Ashkenazic pedigree, but he writes the Bala Turim, which is like a mixture of Ashkenaz and Sephard. And then Davu Jam writes about all the Minhagim that he's come across. And he like tries to describe a lot of the mitzvos. That's it. It's 14th century. Right? Is this for trying to figure out how many centuries ahead of his time he was?
No, yeah. I'm trying to figure out if there's something cultural about
it. Oh, what's going on? Okay. So that's the suggestion of the Avodah.
What did you say? He just
Okay.
Is another fact that they don't define the extent of the Seudah.
That what?
Some people just eat a challah for Seudah.
Yeah, how do you define a Seudah? That's a very important question.
There's no definition here.
Right, there's no definition. It's tricky how you define a suda. We'll see. I'll talk about whether you have to make kiddush and whether you have to have shnei alechem at all three sudos. I'm going to talk about that. It's not clear if those are integral to the definition of a suda, or those just relate to Shabbos matters.
Does everyone agree?
So I'm going to talk about that actually.
That's hayom three times that establishes the law of
shalosh sudos. Everyone agrees to the source. It's in the Gemara and it's not disputed.
Rabbi Fitka's opinion about the fourth meal, the source for the
Malav Malka? No. The Malav Malka seems to be a totally separate thing about escorting Shabbos out afterwards.
But he's saying the same thing. He's saying there's three meals.
But he means during Shabbos.
Yeah, but it also breaks.
Before it gets dark. We'll see. There's some interesting discussions about if it's like Safed. You can't eat once it gets dark on Saturday because you can't eat before Avdallah. So there's like this question, like, let's say... Right, but so if you start before it gets dark, then it's fine. But let's say you're not sure if it was bin Ashmashos yet, so you're not sure if it's nighttime, and you haven't eaten Shalashidis. So does the mitzvah of accomplishing or fulfilling Shalashidis override the suffix that you're violating the mitzvah of not eating before Havdalah? I mean, if it's dark, so then you can't eat because it's before Havdalah. And if it's not dark, so then you still have an obligation to eat Shalashidis, and you're not sure whether it's light or dark. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? So we can talk about that in a second. So on the top of page 2, you have an interesting discussion between the Rambam and the Behag, the Gaonim. But can you fulfill this mitzvah of Shalosh Sudos back-to-back? Okay, and just take the simplest case of, let's say, you ate your meal Friday night. Now it's Shabbos day. Short Shabbos. Shabbos ends at 5 o'clock. And nobody wants to eat lunch, go to shul, and then eat another meal within 2 hours. So you decide you'll eat lunch. You'll bench early. And then you'll wash again before dessert, and you'll have two sudos packed into one. So can you do that?
You have to make a motzi, though.
And you make a motzi in between. Right? So you make a motzi, you bench, and then you make a motzi again before dessert. So the Rambam in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Tes, top of page 2. So just look how the Rambam characterizes the halacha of shalosh sudos. Chayiv adam lechol shalosh sudos b'shabbos. Person has to eat three meals on Shabbos. Achas arvis, one in the evening. Achas shachris, one in the morning, v'achas b'mincha, and one in the afternoon. Now, so what's implied from the Rambam? That the meals have to be spaced throughout the day. And that's somewhat integral to the mitzvah. So if you look at the Magen Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah picks up on this diak. The Magen Mishnah also, I believe, is 14th century, maybe 15th century Spain. He picks up on this. Nearly, second source on page 2, she daito, she mitzvah la'aso, so be'ela hazmanim. the mitzvah is to do shalosh shittos at these specific points in time. V'davar zeh machlokes bein hagonim. But this was disputed amongst the gonim. Shebal halachos kasav, the author of the Bal Halachos Gedolos wrote, Shafilu mafsik b'shachris be'emtza sudaso mevarik birchas hamazon. Even if you interrupted your lunch meal and you benched in the middle, v'achar kach mevarik hamotzi, v'chozer v'ochel shar advarim. And the Bahag thought that you could just break lunch into two separate meals and you fulfill the mitzvah of shalosh sudos that way. So it seems to be a dispute here between the Rambam and the Gonim is whether the mitzvah of shalosh sudos is defined as choreographing the meals throughout the day, or it's just like a din that you have to have three sudos on Shabbos. Okay, so the question is, what would be behind that machlokas?
What does the Rambam mean when he says b'mincha? Mincha could be at 1 o'clock.
Well, mincha usually has the connotation. It's a big question. What does mincha mean? Because we say, why is tefilas mincha called mincha? It's not clear what the etymology of the word is. Why does mincha refer to afternoon?
It's not to rest, but take a rest.
What? Yeah, mincha just means to take a rest.
So people took a siesta.
Yeah, so maybe people took naps in the afternoon. But Tosos points to the Targum Unculus in Bereishis, where it talks about the wind was blowing a certain way when Adam had the chet in Gan Eden. And since the Chazal said that was in the afternoon, so that word of nacha, of resting, got applied to that time of day. But mincha usually means after 6.5 hours into the day, which is halachic 12:30 and on.
Okay, so there you go. So you finish davening shachris at 11:30, you have lunch for an hour, then you daven mincha, and you have your third meal.
Right.
Well, you're implying you have to daven. Who even says you have to daven?
Right, you don't have to daven.
I just got back from Florida, in the building I was in. It's exactly the procedure. The shachris ends at 11:30. Everybody went into the restaurant. They got out at 1 o'clock, then it came up a mincha, and then you could have shalosh shittos.
Right. So I guess the question would be is if they're both before mincha time.
It's Florida.
Well, Harold, do you say, what was your question? Do you have to?
I'm asking like that. The Rambam doesn't say mincha at 4:30. The Rambam
says
mincha.
Right. Mincha is a halachic time, though, after, let's say, 6.5 hours into the day.
Yeah, so you said 4:30.
Right, but let's say, for first on a longer Shabbos, it'll be after 12:30.
I understand.
Right, but the question would be, let's say you go to Ashkam Minyan, and you have Lechem Mishnah at Kiddush, and then you go home to eat. So does that count? So according to Rambam, that wouldn't count as a second Suda. All right? Now, a parallel question to this question, we'll see why they're related, is the question of, let's say you're sick of eating on Shabbos, right? You're already overindulged, and you don't want to eat anymore. So does that exempt you from the mitzvah of shalosh sudos? So the Ritva is adamant on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis that it does in Shabbos. After all, argues the Ritva, I'll just read it to you, it's at the bottom of the paragraph here, which is the Ritva. Third to last line, two words from the end of the line. Sorry. Well, I'll just tell you outside what he says, for brevity's sake. So the Ritva quotes this position of the Bahag, that the Bahag argued again that you could just split up lunch into two meals. And the Ritva says, I have a different objection. Not the Rambam's objection that it has to be spaced out throughout the day. But if you eat two meals back to back, so that's essentially what we call achila gasa.
That's called what?
Achila gasa. It's gluttonous eating. Now you're just overindulging yourself. And in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shalosh sudos, so there has to be a dimension of oneg. You have to be enjoying what you're eating. But if there's no reason for you to be eating anymore, so then you no longer have any obligation in shalosh sudos. So that actually has two ramifications. The first one is what the Ritva is arguing. The Ritva is arguing that if you just break up lunch into two meals, so you haven't fulfilled shalosh sudos because you haven't enjoyed what you're eating. Okay, now that's conceptually important because it means that he thinks that the mitzvah of shalosh sudos is an outgrowth of the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, not an independent mitzvah on its own merits. That's the first ramification. But the second ramification of the Ritva is that let's say now it's a short Shabbos and you ate lunch early and you have no desire to eat anything else until Tuesday. Okay? So the Ritva would argue that you have no obligation to eat shalosh sudos. Because if there's no sense of oneg, then there's no obligation in the first place. Okay? So one point of the Ritva would be that you haven't fulfilled it under conditions where it's achila gasa, it's gluttonous. And the other point of the Ritva is that you have no obligation in cases where you have no desire to eat Shalosh Shittos. Now the Shiboli Halakhet argues, Shiboli Halakhet is an Italian Rishon of the 13th century. He's a doctor, Reb Tzidke HaRofe. Okay, so it's actually he might have been behind his times in medical advice. So the Shiboli Halakhet suggests in Simon Sadi Gimel, this case of the rich. Let's say this guy is so full he doesn't want to eat anymore. Okay, so the Shiboli Halakhet quotes the position of the rich, and he argues, but Eino Nirali, I disagree. I think you have to eat it anyway, because we have this story in the Gemara in Sukkah, Garcinon and Perak Yoshein, Shol Apetropos Shel Agrippas Hamelach Es Rabbi Elazar. So one of the, I guess the Roman administrators asked Rabbi Elazar, what about Kigon Ani She'eni Rogi Lechol Elasuda Achas Bayom? I usually eat one meal during the day. It's my regimen. Mahu She'ochel Suda Achas V'Iftar. So should I have to eat multiple meals? So Amar Lo B'chol Yom Ata Mamshich Kama Parparios La'atzmecha V'achshav Iyata Mamshich Parparas Achas L'chvod Konecha. So I'm not sure what, I guess every day you take a couple things from for yourself. So you can't designate one thing for your creator? Hachanami yesh lomar sh'afa pishe mazekes lo ha'achila, even though this food is going to damage you, it's not enjoyable, it's not healthy for you, tzarech lahamshich suda achas l'chvod kono. So muster the effort and eat one more meal on Shabbos in honor of Hashem.
You're eating for the sake of eating, or you're not eating for any kind of enjoyment, as right. You said.
Yeah. And then he goes on, he says, Vim Enu Yochol Lechol Achila Meruba.
You don't eat Shabbos, as you said.
Well, yeah, but he says, let's say you can't eat a lot, right, because you're full. Exactly. So, Yochol Achila Mu'etes. Eat something small.
That's a relative definition, though. Is that what
it is? So, he doesn't say that. That would be an interesting point. He doesn't say that. That might be a good rationale why he still thinks that you have to have that third meal. But what you see from the Shiboli Halakhet for sure is that he divorces Shalosh Seudos from Oneg Shabbos.
Yes.
It's not an outgrowth of Oneg Shabbos. It's its own principle. It's its own mitzvah. And even if you're not enjoying it, you have
does
an obligation to do it.
Does he believe in Oneg Shabbos? That's a good question.
What?
Does he believe in Oneg Shabbos?
Well, for sure he believes in Oneg Shabbos.
Yeah.
He thinks this is an independent value. Okay? Now, one might say that the Shiboli Halakhet is motivated by, let's say, Kavod Shabbos. We spoke about last week. Things you do for Kavod Shabbos aren't necessarily enjoyable. So you may not enjoy wearing Shabbos clothes, but that may be the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, because objectively it's seen as an honor for the day. So, you know, you take the analogous case. Let's say you're inviting people over for a meal, and you're already full, because you were noshing all day. So there might be some level of just decency or hospitality in sitting there and eating with the people to participate in the meal that they're having. So you might say that the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos is to have a meal celebrating Shabbos and to eat, regardless of whether it's something you enjoy or whether you don't enjoy. Okay? Your suggestion is a little different, that the eating is a way to be able to bench or to make a bracha on Shabbos. That's a very nice suggestion. We'll see at the end that there's definitely a reason to think that. Okay, any questions on this point of the Ritva on the Shiboli Halakhet?
That you're just making the assumption that some people don't love eating. There is a concept that eating is actually going to make them sick.
Right, he's even talking in a case where it's going to damage you. With it's unhealthy for you to eat.
It's going to damage you.
Right.
Can you eat pizza that night?
Yeah.
And from a 13th century medical standpoint,
he's fine with that. Right.
I think it's advanced because he recognizes that it could be harmful to you, and he says, go easy, but eat a little bit.
Right.
So I'm impressed that he recognizes that it could be harmful.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to go about. I'm not sure how these theses, you know, how they survive the falsifiability doctrine, because you're claiming that both the Shiboli Halakhet and the what is our other and the Avodah Zarah are ahead of their times, even though they're kind of making opposite points, right?
I think they're consistent.
Okay.
I really do think they're consistent. It's just that the Shiboli Halakhet is saying.
You gotta eat
a little bit just for the sake of having that third.
Right. Shiboli Halakhet is ahead of his time in recognizing that it's dangerous. The Avodah Zarah is ahead of his time in recognizing that it's healthy.
No, they both recognize that eating too much could be harmful. I think.
That's where they started kiddush.
Well, the Avodah Zarah is saying it's actually about you'll be more productive if you're not as satiated.
He's saying that you're heart and mind work better if you're not overstuffed.
Right. That's probably true.
It is.
Right. Psychological expertise.
Also, assume that it is also the eye. So, you know, that's pretty heavy.
Right.
You're not going to keep the doctor there.
So we'll see. So we'll see whether Shelo Shudos needs Basar Yayin or any of that.
There could be a medical basis for it. I don't know enough about the stomach physiology, but it could be that if you eat a lot, it could make you, you know, it could fatigue one. Or let's say somebody gets a sugar rush, you know, there's too much sugar. There actually could be the fatigue factor from overeating.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we've seen so far two arguments, one between the Rambam and the Bahag, about how these meals have to be spaced out over the day, and one between the Ritter and the Shivali Halakat, about what happens to the Suda in cases where you aren't interested in eating. Okay.
How do we hold on to these things?
That's an excellent question. I would have to double check. Okay.
That's an even better answer.
Yeah. So on the bottom of page 2, we have an important question. What do you have to do at Shalosh Shudos to fulfill the mitzvah? You walk into shuls and you're like, some people make hamotzi, some people just have a couple of snacks, and some people just come for the Dvar Torah. Right? So what level of a suda do you have to have for Shalosh Shudos? Now that's a double question. A, just about Shalosh Shudos, but B, why should there be any grounds to distinguish between Shalosh Shudos and the other two meals of Shabbos? If you look back at the source, it's because the Torah used the phrase Hayom, Hayom, Hayom 3 times. So it seems like it's a uniform requirement. What would be the basis to say that Shalosh Shudos could be of a lower caliber, or a lower meal, or more lenient than the other two?
Well, maybe Kiddush Friday night certainly would indicate that Friday night is more important than Saturday afternoon. Right? Because once you say Kiddush is sanctifying the day, it gives a certain degree of holiness to it.
Right.
But there's no chesed.
But what about
Shabbos during the day or in the afternoon?
Right, but why you? So one second. So let's go back for a second to the Rambam. Look back at the top of page 1. Sorry, look at the top of page 2. Sorry, top of page 2. So look at the last line in the Rambam. V'tzarech l'kvoa kol se'uda mishlashtan al hayayin. All three meals have to be established on wine. V'livtzo al shtei kikros. And to make hamotzi on 2 pieces of bread. V'chein b'yom tovim. Same thing is true on holidays. So the Rambam seems to say here that Shalosh Shudos has to be established al yayin. Right?
Which Kiddush would you make on that?
What Kiddush would you make? Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't seen anybody who makes Kiddush on Shalosh Shudos.
Did he say Yom Tov?
Yeah, the Rambam thinks you need Shalosh Shudos on Yom Tov also. I don't think we're noeg that way. But the Rambam thinks it's intuitive that it has to be that way also. Because on the Yom Tovim, the man also fell early. I'm pretty sure. So the same rationale should apply to Yontif. And it's also, it's a miman of shach, meaning for consistency's sake. Remember, the same, what's the source of lechem mishnah? The man, right? Because it was lechem mishnah, it was double. People also say shomer v'zachar. That might solve our problem. But usually you assume it's lechem mishnah, because the man. Okay? So if you think that the man fell double before Yontif also, then that means you have to have lechem mishnah on Yom Tov, and you have to have shalosh shudos on Yom Tov, because it's the same story. We tend to assume that you have lechem mishnah on Yontif, but you don't have shalosh shudos. So why is that not inconsistent if both of them stem from the man story? That's a bit of an issue.
And
oneg. So oneg yom tov. So the Rambam actually says, the Rambam is very consistent here. The Rambam says there is a mitzvah of oneg yom tov. We tend to assume that there isn't, but the Rambam, who thinks there is a mitzvah of oneg yom tov, so he actually thinks there is shalosh shudos on yom tov. And if you read the Rambam in the 30th chapter of Hilchos Shabbos very carefully, it's clear the Rambam thinks that oneg, that shalosh shudos is included in oneg. So the Rambam actually works out remarkably nicely. Okay. So why should you make kiddush at shalosh shudos? So the Ritva actually objects. Look at the Ritva on the bottom of page 2. Lekadesh ba alayayin yesh omrim she'eno chova. A lot of people say, some say, there's no obligation to make kiddush at shalosh shudos. Daha shuras hadin bekiddush laila havasagi kedei lekadesh yom bechnisaso. Really, from the Torah's perspective, it's exactly like Billy said. All you need is kiddush Friday night, right? Is the recent psachim, end of psachim, right? Why? Because that's the beginning of Shabbos. You're heralding Shabbos with Kiddush. Shabbos during the day is Din Drabanan, because we say that the Kavod Laila is different than Kavod Yom. You want to honor the day of the Shabbos differently than you honor the night. Okay? So, but the Ritva says that if you were to make two Kiddushes during the day, then it would be totally superfluous, because you've already honored the day with Kiddush. So, in effect, what the Ritva is arguing, a little differently, is that the din of Kiddush has nothing to do with a Suda. Kiddush is about the night of Shabbos, and there's a second Kiddush which has to do with the day of Shabbos. But it never has to do with, there's no notion that every Suda Shabbos requires Kiddush. Okay?
He says it does.
What?
He says it does.
The Ritva? So then he says, then he suggests that since you have nothing to lose, so you might as well make a Bori Priya Gafen. But you wouldn't be making any form of a Kiddush. He's just saying, since it's a more formal meal if you have wine, so you might as well have wine. It's like a Pascalian wager. You're not losing anything here. But the Ritva disagrees with the Rambam. So what's the Rambam's response? Why does the Rambam hold that you would need Kiddush when it comes to Shalashuddhis? Right, isn't the Ritva making an excellent point? You made Kiddush at night. The only reason why I make Kiddush again during the day is because of Kavod Yom, to honor the day. So there's absolutely no reason. Yeah.
But the day goes from night to day, so it's still the same day. I don't know why you have to make Kiddush on Shabbos day.
Because the Gemara assumes that the Mekubalim are very into this distinction, that there's a difference between the nature of the night of Shabbos and the day of Shabbos. You'll see, sometimes it's Medjik, sometimes the Mekubalim talk about Shabbos, I think one of the Shabbos night and Shabbos day, one of them is like Zachar, one of them is Nekeva. In the Torah, there's like an ambiguity whether the word Shabbos is Zachar or Nekeva. Thank you. So the Mekubalim think that like it represents different, there are different themes for the night of Shabbos and day of Shabbos. And there are actually there's some ramifications to that. Mitch, you going to say something?
What's that?
Are you going to say something?
Is there any like anything like connected out of the tefillot of Shachar, Simincha, the Kavanot, the Talmud of Shachar, Simincha, that Rambam says?
Yeah, well, the Rambam's saying that, yeah, it's like broken down into different parts of the day, but I don't think you could argue that Shabbos is broken down into three periods.
So what does he say after the
Kiddush? So the only thing that I can think of for the Rambam is that the Rambam really thinks we have this notion of Kiddush b'makom Suda. Mm-hmm. Okay? That Kiddush should be done where you do the Suda. And when you read the Gemara, it's not clear whether that's a din really in Kiddush, that Kiddush is only defined as a legal Kiddush when it's done in the context of a meal, or whether it really means that a Suda is only defined as a Suda Shabbos when it's done in the context of Kiddush. So you have an important ramification. Let's say you made Kiddush in Shul, right? So should you go ahead, and now you come home to eat. So should you make Kiddush at home once again? Right, so that's very unclear. Because you might say that you already had your Kiddush b'makom Suda, because you had something at the Shul Kiddush. On the other hand, now if you go home, so you'll have a meal of Shabbos without Kiddush. Well, you'll wash. Let's say, why can't you just wash at home and go straight into your meal? Why do you have to make Kiddush again? Right? So I'll say there's like a parallel actually to what you were suggesting, that the Rambam may maintain, and I think this is the Rav suggested why everybody who goes to Shul for Kiddush has to go home and make Kiddush again. Because it's not just that Kiddush needs a Suda, but part of the definition of a Suda Shabbos is that there was a Kiddush that elevated the Suda into something more meaningful. You kind of like frame the discussion of what this Suda is all about. So to give an analogy, the Rambam actually in the 8th parak, I believe, or the 7th parak, of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, so the Rambam says the mitzvah of the Seder night is to talk about the whole story of Mitzrayim, all the miracles and all the makos, in the same way that you have an obligation to make Kiddush on Shabbos. That's just a strange reference. Why, when you're talking about the mitzvah of the Seder, where the whole mitzvah is to discuss the events, what happened, and the story, and the history, so why draw an analogy to this notion of making Kiddush, which is like a 5-minute, like a 2-second, you know, a brief Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekacho? What?
Same thing.
Yeah, but it's the same thing in the sense that maybe the Rambam's notion of Kiddush is that it's supposed to like frame a perspective of what you're all doing here at the meal. So I'm just saying that because that's parallel to what you're suggesting about the benching idea. Okay? So maybe the case that the Rambam's really arguing that every Suda that's defined as a Suda Shabbos has to have Kiddush as an important element of it. Okay.
It's different for Seder. Seder is connected our body, wrote Shalom Hashid.
Well, those are the Dalet Kosos. But the Rambam is talking about the mitzvah of even telling the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Rambam likens to Kiddush. But what does the obligation to tell over history have to do with the obligation to bless the wine Friday night? Yeah, but I'm saying it's Zohar, meaning in a more, like, remember, understand it. What's going on? Okay. So that's the debate between the Ritva and the Rambam. Do you need wine when it comes to your third meal? Now, if you take the position of the Ritva, that assumes that the caliber of Shalosh Sudos is weaker, the last meal is weaker than the first two. So take a look at the Or Zeruah, top of page 3, in Hilchos Brachos, in Hamotzi, Simen Kuf Mem. The first full source on page 3. Now, this is in the middle of a discussion. Why is it that some mitzvos have brachos and some mitzvos don't have brachos? It seems like an arbitrary distinction. Why? Like, why, for example, someone gets divorced, so you don't make what?
To
a suda?
Yeah, that's what I would say, no.
I mean, because you could go on forever.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, why there's no bracha on staka, you know?
Because there's no kitzvah.
Right.
I feel like some of the things that we do make a bracha on do have a kitzvah. I'm not sure. But I'm saying there definitely is a finite time for your meals. So no meal goes on forever, and it's bounded by the limits of Shabbos. So look at the Or Zeruah suggestion. Hadulam varchinan lechol shalosh sudos mishum. The reason why we don't make a bracha on shalosh sudos of Shabbos, so note, he assumes that this is going to be a mitzvah that requires a bracha. I could have argued that it's not its own independent mitzvah. Why? Mishum deyesh pa'amim she'eino chaye behem. There are some times when you're not obligated in the mitzvah of shalosh sudos. Kegonim haya saveya. Let's say you're already full. So he's already assuming, like we saw earlier, like the ritva. Kegonim haya saveya. O adam she'eino ragi lechol. Or somebody who's used to only eating one meal. He's assuming contra the Shibali Halakat, who assume that do a little more for your creator. Vetora achas the kol yisrael. So since there are some people who won't be eating shalosh sudos, so we want there to be a uniform bracha, and since not everyone's going to be making it, so no one makes it. Inami, or hoil ve'eno ochlam bipam achas ein levarich aleihem. Since you're not eating all three meals at one instant, so you shouldn't make a bracha. Just like the four kosos are spread out throughout the meal, so you don't make a bracha on each one individually. So what do you think of that? What's the Or Zeruah assuming here?
Like we saw before, you know.
Okay, but in his second answer. Here's making an interesting point. What's the assumption of the Or Zeruah? You can't make a bracha on the meals because they're spread out throughout the day. It's not so different from Ein Kitzvah. It's kind of saying you can't pin it down. But I guess he's saying that you can't point to any one of these su'udos as the mitzvah of Shabbos. It's one mitzvah that's extended throughout the duration of the day. Now, I would have thought that maybe it's either each mitzvah, each suda is defined as its own kiyum mitzvah, which you can make a bracha on, or that maybe you'd pinpoint the last suda, which is the one that sets Shabbos apart from the rest of the weekdays. He's assuming that there's one continuum of like this mitzvah. It starts Friday night, and it continues into the end of Shabbos. Now, one might contend that if it's one mitzvah, you actually don't fulfill the mitzvah of pseudo Shabbos if you only have two. It's one mitzvah, begins at the beginning of Shabbos, ends at the end, and if you only have two out of the three mitzvahs, you haven't properly fulfilled any of them. That, I think, might be a conclusion you'd reach from the Or Zeruah. There's an interesting point to be raised about also the quality of shalosh, of this last Uda with respect to the first two. In the middle of... What?
It needed to be rich to fulfill Shabbos.
Back then. Yeah. Well, actually, the Gemara says that you can't take money from tzedakah in order to fulfill oneg, to fulfill these meals of Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. Cannot.
Cannot.
Well, it's a poor person. What's he supposed to do?
Right. So people. So the rash. The point might be that by definition, the mitzvah, let's say kavod and oneg Shabbos, is that you're putting yourself out for Shabbos. So the moment you're burdening other people with your kavod Shabbos, then it ceases to be your way of honoring Shabbos. That's the rationale that some of the Achronim give for that mitzvah. So just 2 points. The Mogen Avram, in the middle of page 3, and Simon Reis Tadihei, middle of page 3. So Mogen Avram says, let's say you have enough food for 2 nice meals, and if you split it up into 3 meals, so none of your meals will be satisfying. So what do you do? So the Rav argues, you do away with Shalosh Shittos. Better that you have 2 full meals that are a kiyum of Kavod Shabbos than to have a third which splits up the day.
When was he alive? After?
He's 16th century. Poland. Okay? That's just an interesting perspective already, because if you thought that what's special about Shalosh Shittos is the fact that Shabbos is different by virtue of the number of meals that it has, so you couldn't have maintained that, yeah, do away with the third meal and have 2 nice ones. Okay? The Magen Avraham is assuming that Shalosh Shittos could be done away with. Look again in the next Mar Malkom, third from the bottom. The Magen Avraham, a simon earlier, says that it's ein lahaniach hadrasha avor suda shlishis. He says it's better not to leave the drasha to fulfill the mitzvah of Shalosh Shittos. Meaning it's better that you're involved in some form of learning to make sure, rather than have that third meal on Shabbos. So you see the tendency of the Magen Avraham and some of the later poskim is to say that Shalosh Shittos is not so important. Rabbeinu Tam, actually, has a big heter, and Rabbeinu Tam says you don't even need, against the Rambam, you don't need bread for that third meal. All you need is like a couple of fruits. That's what's important in just having that third meal. It doesn't have to be a formal suda. There is an important question, which captures this in another light. What about the obligation of women in Shalosh Shittos? Normally we say mitzvah saseh shazman grama. What?
Yeah,
Mrs. Seisha's man grandma. Yeah, so does your wife eat with you on Shabbos?
I'm waiting for that answer.
She bakes it.
My daughters are eating
Shalosh Shittos. Eating
Shalosh Shittos. Does a woman have a mitzvah even on Shabbos night for it to eat?
It would depend. So, right, okay. So you're right. You could limit this discussion to just Shalosh Shittos, to the third meal. But well, at least what you see from the Or HaZeruah is that there's no difference. This is the debate between the Magen Avraham and the Or HaZeruah here. Do you assume that it's just the last meal? That's like the mitzvah of Shalosh, or do you assume it's all the meals of a day? The Or HaZeruah assumes it's all the meals of a day. Okay? So let's assume it's all the meals of a day. So why is it not a mitzvah say Shazman Grama? Okay, so the Sefer Yasha of Rabbeinu Tam and Simon Ayin, so he argues, Nashim, second, this is the bottom source on page 3, Nashim im Chayavos, women, if they're obligated in Shalosh Sudos, Nira de'af heim hayu be'oso ha'nes. They were also included in the nes. De'min lechem mishnah hayu lekulam. Because the nes of the lechem mishnah falling twice, the man, that applies both equally to men and women. So it's the same rationale that we find for Chanukah, af heim hayu be'oso ha'nes, and it's the same rationale that you find for Purim. But what's surprising here is that Rabbeinu Tam feels that the mitzvah of Shalosh Sudos is actually in commemoration of the falling of the man. Mm-hmm. Now, until now, contrast that with the Shibali Aleket and the Ritva. They're both assuming that these are natural outgrowths of the mitzvah of either Kavod Shabbos or Oneg Shabbos. Now, there's a difference how you define Kavod or Oneg, but Shalosh Shittos is just an extension of a broader Shabbos issue. Rabbeinu Tam is now saying, no. The mitzvah of Shalosh Shittos is in commemoration of the miracle of the man falling.
Which is biblical.
So you're saying it might be do raisa, though? Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure if the Ritva would say that Oneg Shabbos is not biblical.
How does he derive that? Where did that come from?
What? Well, where does the Bnei Tam get it from?
Yeah.
Well, the Gemara in Shabbos says it comes from the man.
The Shalosh Shittos does?
Shalosh Shittos. Well, 3 meals. Now, we see all along there's an ambiguity whether that means the third meal or whether it means the 3 meal. 3 meals, referring to all 3. Right? But Rabbeinu Tam is taking...
The 3 meals from it saying...
Hayom, hayom, hayom. Right, which is in the context of the month.
Of the
month. Right, but the Gemara never says anything about the miracle component being significant. I could have argued that happened on Shabbos, and now we establish 3 meals on Shabbos. It's a way of just deriving the principle. Tosos is saying, Rabbeinu Tam is suggesting, that Shalosh Sudos is to commemorate the miracle of the month. The Ramban, on the bottom of page 3, top of page 4, doesn't like that.
The month was, in general...
Any more special?
It was on Thursday.
Right, so you might say it's the convergence of.
Special.
spoil.
It didn't spoil.
Oh, it didn't. No, right. But no, every day it would spoil if you held it over to the next day.
Oh, so
if you try, so maybe that would be the miracle. That's it. But there, it's not actually. That's a very good point. But the Rabbeinu Tam just says because they had lechem mishnah for everyone. He doesn't pinpoint the spoiling point. The Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban says very nicely. He says, why does Rabbeinu Tam have to invoke this principle of af heim hayu ba'oso anes? Why not just say, in generally we equate the negative mitzvos of Shabbos with the positive mitzvos of Shabbos? So shalosh sudos is part of the positive mitzvos of Shabbos. Since women are obligated in the Isra of Malacha, they're obligated in the mitzvos of Shabbos, the active mitzvos, and shalosh sudos is just one of those general mitzvos. Right? Ve'omer Rabbeinu Tam, ve'ein tzorech, he doesn't need that principle. She'b'chol ma'isa Shabbos, ish ve'isha shavin. We never just differentiate the mitzvos of Shabbos. But it could be that if Rabbeinu Tam really believes that the mitzvah of shalosh sudos comes not necessarily from a Shabbos halacha, it's not an outgrowth of Shabbos, it's a way of commemorating the nes of the man. Not necessarily limited to Shabbos. We happen to celebrate it on Shabbos. But it's not a mitzvah of Hilchos Shabbos. Then it could be that the general din of equating men and women on Shabbos is not sufficient to explain shalosh sudos for women. Just a nice point in the lower status of sudas Shabbos, of shalosh sudos, there's a din for sheva brachos, so you have to have panim chadashos in order to say all the brachos. You have to have a new face at every meal. Tosos in Ksuvis, what? Yeah, Tosos in Ksuvis quotes, excellent. Tosos in Ksuvis quotes that on Shabbos you don't need panim chadashos. Because Shabbos, it's mizmor shir liyom ha-Shabbos. Shabbos itself is enough of a simcha that you don't need a new face to make everyone happy. So the tour in Evin Ezer and Hilchos Kedushin Simen Samech Beis says that's true for the night meal and the day meal of Shabbos. It's not true for shalosh sudos. Because shalosh sudos is not a significant enough of a celebration. It's not enough of a Shabbos meal to warrant this added level of simcha. Okay? So you see, we see a nice overview of the laws of shalosh sudos. Could women be? I assume so.
Okay.
I'd have to. Yeah. Well, panim is always nekeva, I think. But I think I'll double check to look into it. Make sure.
Chassidim made it the most important meal of Shabbos. Chassidim consider that the most important.
Shalosh sudos, yeah, because kasha, yeah. The Chassidim make shalosh sudos into like the pinnacle of the pseudo Shabbos, right? Because they kasha elai prey daschem, like you're about to leave and now you're staying a little longer. That's an interesting point. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Very good point. Okay, so that's our overview of shalosh sudos. You have a question whether or not we're talking about the last meal, whether we're talking about all three meals. We have a question conceptually whether it's an outgrowth of Oneg Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, or whether it's its own principle of commemoration of a nes. There's a question, now that impacts the question of, let's say you're full and you don't want to eat anymore. It may impact the question of spacing out the meals throughout the day, one at night, one in the morning, one in the evening, or whether you could just combine the two into a post-Shachris meal. You have the question whether or not each Seudah requires Kiddush. Does Shalosh Sudos require Kiddush? And you have the question whether Shalosh Sudos needs the full, let's say, Shtei Alechem that you have for the other meals of Shabbos. You have the Avudram's rationale, that it's a way of creating discipline for the rest of the week, albeit surprising, and albeit foreshadowing, I guess, or anticipating some medical discoveries. And then you have the question of the inferior status of Shalosh Sudos, where the Magen Avraham says, better to have two nice meals than to have three sparse ones. The Magen Avraham says, better to partake in the drasha than to run away for Shalosh Sudos. And you see this notion of Panim Chadashos also, that Shalosh Sudos is of a lower stature. And they tell the story that somebody was running on Shabbos afternoon to Shir. And so his Rebbe said, it's like, take an apple with you just in case it's not a good Shir. Because if it's a good Shir, then you're exempt from Shalosh Sudos. And if it's not a good Shir, then at least you could be Yotze by eating something for Shalosh Sudos.
So does anyone hold that if you eat something, make a bracha, they say this is for Shalosh Sudos?
I never saw anybody saying that you have to designate it. If you hold like the Rambam, that you have to make Kiddush,
right,
then that's a way of designating
it. What
about washing? You
have to wash, right?
No, that's not clear. The Rambam says you have to wash. Rabbeinu Tam says you could even just have fruits.
And if you have to wash, you don't have to have
lechem mishnah? What? So the Rambam says you need lechem mishnah.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah, a lot of people think you don't need lechem mishnah
I
for that. A lot of people think you don't need it. Okay.